mention something about this upcoming week, because it'll be an eventful week for some of us on the pastoral staff. So we're going to be going to the national conference in Denver, and you can pray for us, because it's going to be pretty exciting. Job's going to lead some worship at the conference, a little bit in one of the main sessions, and then in the youth conference as well. So we're really grateful for that opportunity. Pastor Kwan and I will be leading a workshop on Wednesday afternoon, and so you could keep us in prayer. It's about Asian American ministry in the Vineyard. And then you guys might remember that I mentioned that, there's a video crew that came out a couple months ago and filmed their church, and so they're going to be playing this video just featuring our church and Asian American ministry in the Vineyard on Tuesday morning. And so so just keep our team in prayer. There's several on our staff that are going, and so pray for us during this week. All right, so we finally made it to the last passage in the book of Malachi, and we're going to be wrapping it up today. We'll be in Malachi chapter 4, and I'll be putting it up on the screen, but I do think it'll be helpful if you open up in your Bibles, because I'll mention some things in context too. So Malachi chapter 4, there are six verses in that chapter, Malachi chapter 4, 1 through 6, and the title of the message is In the Meantime. So let me start out like this. Sometimes when things are coming up, something good that's coming up in the future, whatever it is in our lives, sometimes it's hard, difficult to wait in the meantime. And so this passage kind of talks about that. No matter what it is in our lives, if it's a vacation coming up, marriage, retirement, etc., sometimes it's difficult to wait in the meantime. There's this infamous experiment that you might have heard of called the marshmallow experiment, where researchers handed kids one marshmallow, and they asked them to wait until that researcher came back, and if they waited, they would get two marshmallows. And so it's interesting to see what they did in the meantime. So take a look. This is just about a minute and a half clip of this experiment, and then I'm going to connect it in with this passage. So we're talking about waiting in the meantime. Take a look. Turn up the volume a little bit.
All right, so I'm gonna leave and then I'll come back, okay? So you can either eat it right now or you can wait. Either way, okay? Okay. How'd you do? Did you do good? You did?
Yeah.
You wanted to eat it, didn't you? Yeah. So did I tell you I'd give you another one? Okay, now you can have both. You need them.
So you see, it's not always easy to wait in the meantime. And for the Israelites in today's passage, or throughout the book of Malachi, they were looking forward to something good. And we're going to see that in today's passage. And as they waited for something good to happen in the future, they waited in the meantime, and it was tough for them. So let's see how the story unfolds for them about waiting in the meantime. Malachi chapter 4, 1 through 6. Can we read it out loud together? Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Then you will trample on the wicked, and they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. So a little bit of background first. I've mentioned along the way, every week I think in this series, that Israel had experienced severe moral and spiritual decline. Things were falling apart in society. Marriages were falling apart. Finances, personal finances were falling apart. We mentioned last week about people's attitudes were falling apart. And overarching this decline in society was pure worship of God was having a great downfall in society in the nation of Israel. But there was a faithful remnant that was continuing to press on. And as this faithful remnant continued to press on, it was difficult for them, right? Because the rest of society was being wicked. It seemed like the wicked were prospering. And so for the faithful remnant to keep staying faithful and keep pressing on was tough. And so Malachi prophesies to the nation of Israel, to this faithful remnant. God speaks his word to them and gives them good news in verses 1 through 3 as they're pressing on. So let's read again verses 1 through 3. This is the good news for the faithful remnant who are pressing on. This word is for us as well as we press on in the Lord. Let's read it together, this good news to them and to us. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Then you will trample on the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty. So this is good news for the faithful remnant. God's trying to encourage them. So God says, surely the day is coming. It's going to come. There is going to come a day when, he says, the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. The people that are doing wicked seem like they're not getting punished, but one day, God said, they will. But not for them who are the faithful remnant. God says for them who stay faithful, that healing would be their portion. That their portion, that they would be like, they would frolic about like well-fed calves. That there would be freedom for them. This is referring to the end of time, Judgment Day, when complete justice was going to prevail on the earth. The wicked would be punished, the righteous, the faithful remnant. The good news for them was that blessing was their portion. And we also, as Christians, we look forward to this, when complete justice will prevail one day. But if I could connect it in with the video, it's kind of like we have to wait till that lady comes back with the two marshmallows, and one day it'll be the two marshmallows stuffed in our mouths. It's going to be a glorious moment. It's going to be great. But the question is, what do we do in the meantime? What does the nation of Israel, the faithful remnant, do in the meantime? And so Malachi gives an answer to this question. What are they to do in the meantime? How are they going to make it all the way until the end? So let's read verse 4. What does he call them to do? Let's read it out loud together. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. So there's this exhortation here, this call for them to stay faithful. And this is a call, an exhortation to adhere to the general laws of God. A general exhortation of generally adhering to God's laws. But I just want to point out 7 specific areas in Malachi 1, 2, 3 that Malachi was specifically calling the nation of Israel to adhere to, because I think that Malachi was specifically referring to these 7 areas. So let me just list them out for us, a little review from the last couple of weeks of our sermon series. Chapter 1 called them to pure worship. God was calling them to purify their worship. Chapter 2, he called them to pure teaching of God's word. He called them in chapter 2 also to marital faithfulness. Chapter 3, to genuine repentance. Chapter 3, to giving of tithes and offerings. Chapter 3, to staying humble. Chapter 3, to fear the Lord, to fear God. I think all of us, as Christians in here, we would agree with this list. In the meantime, we're called to adhere to God's law, specifically to these that Malachi was speaking in chapters 1 through 3. I think that a lot of us in this room, we don't just think it's a good idea. We've been trying to live these things out. But I think that you would agree at times, sometimes even long stretches, right? It's kind of like that video of how we're going to make it until the end and keep staying faithful to whatever God placed in front of us. So Malachi closes this book, this prophetic message to the nation of Israel, with some encouragement in the next two verses of how are they going to press on to keep staying faithful, to keep staying faithful to the things that God called them to, for how we are going to stay faithful to the thing that God places in front of us too. Here's the encouragement, verses 5 through 6. Let's read this encouragement out loud together again. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents. So I want to point out that Malachi, as he's closing up this book, he's saying that this, what he's writing in verses 5 through 6, is going to happen in the meantime. They are to look forward to the day of judgment, to the end of time. But he said, in the meantime, he was saying before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. In the meantime, Malachi said, look forward to a time when Elijah comes. Now, I wanted to mention that there's not unanimous agreement about who this Elijah is in this passage, but I would say it's not of utmost importance to understand the intent that Malachi is trying to get across. He's trying to get across that there's going to be a massive move of God on the earth in the meantime. And Malachi was saying and encouraging this faithful remnant that this massive move of God that they could certainly expect in the meantime was going to result in verse 6. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents. It was going to be a bringing together of the generations. Now, I pointed out along the way that there's so many similarities between the society that we live in and the society that Malachi was prophesying to that was happening in the nation of Israel at that time. One thing that's common for both of our societies is that there's division between the generations. In some translations of verse 6, it speaks of the fathers and the children. The hearts of the fathers turn to the children, the children turn to the father. And I'm just going to focus in there to draw out the weight of what Malachi was trying to convey. Our generation, I think you're aware, is known as the fatherless generation. There's lots of people that literally do not have a physical father present in their lives. And then there's a lot of us that may have a physical father present, but who is emotionally distant and spiritually distant. And I wanted to say that this has a profound effect on society. When Malachi was saying that this was what was happening in that time, it was having profound effect on society that he was trying to encourage them that this massive move of God was going to come that was going to fix this endemic problem that was happening in society. And so I just want to point out something just as a point of illustration, just something from the National Fatherhood Initiative, that these are the things that it mentions that begin to start, that are directly correlated with fatherlessness in society. And so it talks about how it's behavioral problems, poverty, teen pregnancy, child abuse, mom-child health, substance abuse, incarceration, child obesity, crime, education. But the point is that fatherlessness has profound negative consequences on society. That was what was happening in the nation of Israel. Sadly, unfortunately, it's happening in our society too. And so Malachi was encouraging them, hey, listen, stay faithful to whatever God has placed in front of you and expect that a massive move of God comes on this earth that starts erasing and reversing some deep sins that are happening in society. That to see that our so-called little faithfulness is merging in to a mighty move of God that is going to sweep over the earth. Malachi was encouraging the nation of Israel to see their situation. For them, they probably felt just like us. They just felt small in and of themselves. And Malachi is encouraging them. Stay faithful in whatever it is in your life and merge into this grander plan that has epic kingdom proportions for them. Now, you might, we talk a lot about a massive move of God. This is our vision up here. Another way to talk about a massive move of God is its revival. So you might say, revival would be a great thing. If revival happened in our society, that'd be great. But I want to point out and kind of drill down that Malachi was taking a much stronger stance on this. He was telling the nation of Israel, in the midst of their faithfulness and staying faithful, he was telling them, listen, revival, a massive move of God happening in society, is a necessity for you to stay faithful. That there is no other option than a massive move of God comes that you would be able to stay faithful. Let's read the end portion of verse 6. Let's read this out loud together. Or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. This was the direction that the society in the nation of Israel was headed to. I think you would agree. I think you would agree that in our society, the way things are going, it's headed in this direction too. And Malachi was encouraging them. God puts it in the scripture to encourage us. And Malachi was saying to them, listen, it's do or die that a massive move of God comes upon the earth for our faithfulness to matter, for us to press on. That is it was a necessity for them to have a deep hope in their heart that a massive move of God would happen on the earth for them to press on. Listen, I think it's the same for us. In the midst of whatever God has called us to stay faithful in our lives, whatever calling he has for each one of us, for us to stay faithful in that, there needs to be a deep hope in our hearts that a massive move of God begins to happen and begins to erase and reverse the effects of sin for there to be faithfulness and for there to be a continuation of the faithfulness in our lives and things that God calls us to. Let me share a little statement here that I think summarizes well what Malachi was trying to get across in this end portion of his prophetic word to the nation of Israel. God calls us to remain faithful to him until the end by maintaining hope for a massive move of God that only his Spirit can do. I just want to say that one more time. God calls us to remain faithful to him in whatever he placed in front of us until the end by maintaining hope for a massive move of God that only his Spirit can do. That the calling for them, for the nation of Israel, was to stay faithful with complete faith, complete confidence, that their faithfulness was merging into a much grander, massive move of God that was going to certainly happen in society. I want to share here also a little saying that I think captures well the heart that Malachi was trying to get across, that has helped me through the years, and I think it's just very in line with his heart, with what Malachi was trying to communicate to the nation of Israel at this time. Here's a saying. Better to be a little part of something big than a big part of something small. Let me share something here that's just kind of a personal application for me. And I say this is my little Sunday vulnerable moment. And I share this with you because I think a lot of you may not connect in with the details of my journey, but I think you'll connect in with the sentiments and the process that was part of my journey, and I think is and could be a part of yours. So many of you guys remember 5 years ago, we were in the thick of this building project for this whole building. And it was something that we felt like God had called us to do, and God called us to. But as it progressed, it just honestly got harder and harder. And honestly, in the thick of it, it was really tough for me to press on, for me to stay faithful to what God had called me and called us to do. And maybe one of the toughest moments or the toughest stretch was we were in the middle of the project with all that's involved with it, casting vision for the project, raising the funds, the actual construction itself, all that, in the middle of all that. And our Sunday attendance was dipping at that time. And you guys know I've said it in the past, Sunday attendance is not the be-all, end-all. But I think you would agree that it is not encouraging either, as we are like in the middle of this project, grueling as it was, excruciating as it was, trying to press on and stay faithful in it, and attendance was dropping. And so that was the situation, and I'm just sharing that an example for me where it's tough to press on. And you might remember along the way that I've shared with us that about the grander vision that God gave to me many years ago about the coming revival that I believe is going to happen, that our church would be a part of this coming revival. Now, I'm not going to share the whole thing here, but I just wanted to mention that it's that the vision that I believe that God has for the coming revival is that it's happening all over the earth. We're just a small piece of it. We're just one small piece. It's not about us becoming a mega, mega church or anything like that. It's just we're a small piece. Revival is coming through our church, and we're just joining in with what God is doing all over the earth. And so we're going through this process. It's getting hard to press on. And I remember talking with Pastor Kwan. And I remember, you know, talking about what's happening in the church, and we're talking about this project. And I remember, you know, just us just kind of debriefing it, and we said, listen, we just got to stay faithful to what God's called us to do. The other pieces, the other thing of revival or what it is in the future or how God grows things or what he wants to do, we got to leave it up to him. But we got to stay faithful to what we know that God's called us to do, and then just merge in to the broader plan, the massive move of God that God, that only God and his spirit can do. And I remember that being extremely encouraging for me and helping me to press on. And I think about even in the midst of this major transition that we're in for this year in a couple of months, it's the same thing. Like there's not, only thing that I can do is I can just stay faithful to what God has called me to do and then merge into the broader plan that God has. I know in a room this size that there's literally thousands of things, right, that God has called us to stay faithful in. Faithful in our marriages, faithful in our jobs, faithful in our ministries, faithful in our friendships. The list goes on, and you might be here this morning, and it is downright tough to keep staying faithful, to keep pressing on. And God was speaking to them in the book of Malachi and encouraging them. Yes, they were to be encouraged about the end of time when complete justice was going to prevail. But he was also talking to them that in the meantime, verse 5 and verse 6, that there would be a massive move of God that was going to erase sin and reverse sin, and they could take hope in that, that whatever faithfulness that they were offering and pressing on in, that it was merging into this broader plan that God has. And I know God wants to encourage some of us this morning. Because it is tough. It is tough when we sign up to just give it all for Jesus, to sign up to serve in whatever capacity that he has for us. That we're not promised in Scripture a life that's just going to be easy all the rest of the way. And I'm sure that there are some in here this morning in living for God today, this morning, you come to church and it has been downright tough. And you might be ready to give up. I give you the same encouragement that Malachi gave them. Look forward to the end of time. Complete justice is going to prevail. But in the meantime, let's embed it in our hearts that there is a deep hope, that there is a massive move of God that would come on this earth that would erase and reverse sin, and we're just joining in to that. And we're offering the little faithfulness that we have in our lives and whatever God's called us to do to join into this massive move that God has, that we would just be the little part of something big, and we would take heart that God is in that with us. Let's respond to God in prayer in this. I wanted to say that the response prayer today is simply this. I would say, obviously, a short, simple, but deeply profound prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, help me to stay faithful with what you have placed in front of me, with confidence that I am merging into the mighty move of your Spirit that is certainly coming. Just one more time. This is the prayer of response to God's word this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, help me to stay faithful with what you have placed in front of me, with confidence that I am merging into the mighty move of your Spirit that is certainly coming. Let's stand in response to God's word. Can we just give everyone a private moment so if you could just close your eyes just so that people can respond and feel like they just have a safe space right now to respond to God and his word. Are you here this morning? And it's been hard, maybe downright difficult, grueling, excruciating to press on and stay faithful to what God has placed in front of you. Thousands of things, all sorts of things in our lives that God called us to stay faithful in. But that you pray that prayer, God, help me to stay faithful with confidence that I'm merging into the mighty move of your Spirit that is certainly coming. Can you just put your hand all the way up and then down if that's you? And you say, would you pray for me this morning in this and the areas where God's called me to stay faithful? So, Father, you see our hands, so many things that we're called to stay faithful in, and we need your help. Just as the faithful remnant, it was difficult for them. It's also difficult for us at times, and we recognize that we can't do it on our own. So we just pray, dear Heavenly Father, help us to stay faithful with what you have placed in front of us, with confidence that we're merging into the mighty move of your Spirit that is certainly coming. Can we have our prayer team come up, and we're going to sing a song that's real fitting, just asking God that we would be ones that are found faithful. If we could pray for you this morning in any area, whether it be related to this sermon or otherwise, our prayer team would love to do that. So we're going to worship to this one last song. Let this be our prayer that we'd answer God's call to be that faithful remnant.